Window World is proud to present Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Simply the best for less at WindowsKansasCity.com.
Now that it's almost exclusively a local website, the Kansas City Star is selling its glorious building downtown. It's a sad day. The printing operations and 125 layoffs behind them, there's now no need for the building at all. This is really sad, but it is a sign of the times. Newspapers are dying everywhere and operate almost exclusively as digital platforms now. These are not the good old days for local media. Of course, the Star doesn't help its own cause by basically turning off 60% of Kansas Cityans with its radical left ideology. I guess that won't change, even though their company is largely owned now by the same hedge fund that owns the National Enquirer. I wonder how many of the editors at the Star feel really slimy about that. Lady Gaga is offering a $500,000 reward for something you won't believe. You really got to hear this story. Amazon cancels an historic Black American during Black History Month, and we ask if CBD can relieve your pain and improve your quality of life. In sports, you'll hear from Royals right fielder Whit Merrifield. To say he's excited about this season is an understatement. Also, what Danny Duffy asked for from Carlos Santana in order to give up jersey number 41. College basketball has a horrible idea about backup teams for the NCAA tournament if COVID strikes. Tiger Woods is transferred to a new hospital, and one of the biggest sports stars in the world is critical of LeBron James. It's all ahead on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues, brought to you by Bstock.net. My friend Chris at Bstock, perfect weekend to go get a new TV. This is the deal of all deals. Samsung 75-inch 7 Series 4K. He has too many of them. $659. If you buy two of them, they're only $619. That's crazy. This is an insane price on a 75-inch Samsung 7 Series. This is an unbelievably great television. If you got room for two of them, you save even more, or bring a friend and do the two for one. Bstock.net is located at 14680 South Flaming Road in Olathe. Of course, if you don't live in Kansas City and you listen to the podcast, you can shop online at bstock.net. That's B as in boy. There's no dash. Bstock.net. Electronics, computers, televisions, everything at huge discounts, full warranties, 27 years in business. They'll ship it right to you, or you save even more by going to the outlet store in Olathe. 14680 South Flaming Road. Buck Roofing and Construction. Ron Buck is Kansas City's go-to roofer. Kansas City, Lawrence, Topeka, Manhattan. Anywhere up and down the I-70 corridor, Ron Buck is on it. Whether it's a small repair or a whole new roof, he's your man. We've picked out our roof that he'll be installing in our new home, and we're excited to see the great work that he does. Not only do they take care of your yard, not only does the roof do its job, they make the roof look beautiful. It's always perfect. It's always lined up just right. It's gorgeous. It actually is artwork, and they're the best. Buck Roofing, 913-384-2680, and you'll sleep well knowing Buck Roofing fixed the roof over your head. And my friend Mike and his team at Roberts Robinson, Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, and Excelsior Springs. Customers say, we just make it easy at Roberts Robinson, and that is absolutely true. I'm going to be visiting the showroom floor on Saturday. I'm returning the Sierra Denali that he has loaned me for a couple of weeks. Enjoy driving it a great deal. Says he's next going to put me in a midsize SUV. That'll probably be after I get back from spring training. So I'm looking forward. Maybe he's going to put me in a Buick or a GMC or a Chevy SUV. It'll be interesting to see which one I drive, but I'm really enjoying learning the product line that they have. What's hard about talking about the products at Roberts Robinson is they have them all. Everything GM is there. That's pretty rare. Most dealerships don't have that. There's some Chevy dealers. There's some Buick GMC dealers. There's very few that have them all, and he has them all. Chevrolet, Buick, GMC, in Excelsior Springs, Roberts Robinson. You can save big right now. He's got some closeout models from 2020 that you can save big on at Roberts Robinson. You can shop online, robertsrobinson.com. They'll even deliver it right to your home. Chevrolet, find new roads. All right, we're off and running. It's a sad day. The Kansas City Star is now selling its building. They're basically homeless. They're looking for a small place because they are a local digital operation now. And it is a sad day for local media. Hit it!
Elite Automation presents Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. Make your building great again. Online at EliteAutomate.com.
Well, we've got a huge variety of topics today on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. And we start with something that I derive no pleasure from whatsoever in announcing and talking about. It's just another sad thing that happens in business in media, in a city, in a community, and that is what was once the crown jewel of the McClatchy newspaper chain, the gorgeous Kansas City Star building downtown just across the highway from Sprint Center, T-Mobile Center now, which was about a $200 million project opened in 2006. It's been announced by the Star. They are selling or leasing the building at this point. We know that McClatchy Newspapers has recently gone through bankruptcy and were bailed out by a hedge fund in the Northeast, a very big hedge fund that actually owns or is a large shareholder in the National Enquirer, if you can believe that. The Kansas City Stars, basically the owners or the financiers, although it's still called McClatchy Media, McClatchy Newspapers, the hedge fund, a very private hedge fund, where the person who runs it doesn't really do interviews. You know, some of these hedge fund guys are out there in front of everybody. Not this one. It's very quiet, very private, and they're slowly buying up newspapers everywhere. I think they see them at very low prices, and they're grabbing them thinking somebody has to provide local news in these communities. They own the Miami Herald, the Kansas City Star, the Charlotte Observer. There's a whole bunch of newspapers McClatchy owns. At one point, they bought Knight Ridder, which was the second largest newspaper company in America, but McClatchy could not sustain that. A private family-run company for so long went under and required a bailout from a hedge fund, and now the hedge fund basically runs McClatchy Newspapers. It is also the same group that owns the National Enquirer. I'll let you put two and two together. Although it's known that the people who began and owned and operated the National Enquirer were friends of Trump and conservative, there is none of that. The McClatchy newspaper chain continues to operate in a left-leaning way, and because there's so little information about the hedge fund that owns them, I can only assume that that hedge fund is left-leaning, far left-leaning, if they're buying up media newspapers like this, and they're continuing to operate as leftist organizations, basically, or leftist operations, is probably the way to say it. This is the fifth owner of the Kansas City Star since 1977. The building being for sale, there's no price that I can see listed anywhere. I mean, they're not going to get their $200 million back. It's going to have to be retrofitted. It really was built as a printing press, a giant printing operation, and the mistake that McClatchy made then at the time was building this at a time, and I know if you read the, it's pretty funny, the Star and some local media outlets write stories about this stuff, and they write about what's happened in the newspaper business, and of course they blame George Bush's recession, is what it says. The building opened in 2006, but the recession in the next couple years, it says, resulted in the newspaper business falling upon very hard times. The Kansas City Star now employs about one-fourth as many people as they did in 2006 when they opened that business. Clearly, the newspaper business has gone backwards, but when you spend $200 million on a giant building to house printing presses, which is what it was, this was designated as they were going to do books, they were going to do magazines, they were branching out away from newspapers. This was a massive decision in 2006 when we had technology bursting at the seams. We had our cell phones, we had the internet, we could see a lot of this stuff coming. Social media platforms were popping. Apple and Microsoft were the hottest stocks in the world. All of this stuff was going on. It was there. It was there for anyone to see. And they made this gigantic investment in printing press operations. Essentially, the reason the building is so big is not because they had the employees working there. Many of these employees traveled or worked from home even then. But it was a printing operation, and it was going to be more than just the Kansas City Star. They were going to outsource to everyone in the Midwest. Every little newspaper everywhere in the Midwest was going to come to the Star and say, we want you to print our newspapers. They were going to print for USA Today. They were going to do books. They were going to do magazines. They were doing all this stuff when they were first opening. And what happened very shortly after that, and had nothing to do with George W. Bush or Barack Obama being elected president in 08, because he certainly didn't save newspapers. What happened was people stopped picking things up on paper and started reading their phones, their tablets, their computers, and the business was altered forever. The traditional newspaper business, where they throw it in your driveway, was slow to the change, much as I think radio and some other types of media are slow to changes that are taking place today. But the Star was not unique in this regard. They weren't blind. They weren't worse than other cities. It wasn't dumber or anything like that. They just didn't see the threat of the online competitors. And what people have found is they can go online and find what they like. And there's a gazillion different websites in the country, and most of them are free. The Kansas City Star still charges for content. And I mean, I do it for this work. I do it for the podcast. Most of what I read there, it's the only thing I subscribe to that is liberal, that is uber liberal, because it is. It's very far left liberal. It's the only thing I subscribe to, but there is a news element and following things going on in this community that I find are very important and useful for what I do. Now, I didn't resubscribe to the Star until I started the podcast, and that really is the only reason that I do it. I don't find their coverage of much stuff to be worth a whole lot. I think it's interesting that I've found a conservative columnist at the Star, or opinion writer, that we're going to have on the podcast here in the next couple of weeks. That'll be fun, so we'll look forward to that. But it is sad that they're selling this building. It's too big. The printing presses have been closed for quite some time. The Star outsources what it still prints to a press that they own in the state of Iowa. So if you actually get a paper copy of the Star, it was not printed here. The printing presses aren't in operation. They're selling the entire building and the entire thing. The newspaper business has changed dramatically. This was not George W. Bush's fault. This was not the fault of a recession. The booming economy of Donald Trump did not bring newspapers back. It didn't. People have changed the way they consume information, and it will always be changing like that. Newspapers were once the grand old medium in America. They were it. You were everything. And it's pretty funny. I'll share this with you personally, because as somebody who's been in sports journalism for over 35 years now, I've always found it interesting. I would cover the Chiefs games on Sundays working for Channel 4. And in those days, before ratings splintered off, there weren't nearly as many channels. Like, cable had maybe 30 channels then. Some of the people I know that were in television before me were in TV when there was only 4 or 5 channels, and they would just get huge ratings. Like, 400,000 people would watch the 10 o'clock news. I mean, just an outrageous number of people were watching local news. But even when I was in TV news here in the 90s, I would go cover Chiefs games, and we'd have these massive audiences on Sunday nights watching our Chiefs coverage. In those days, sometimes the games were still blacked out. People hadn't seen highlights. It wasn't on your cell phone. It wasn't on your computer. It was not like now. And you watched the 10 o'clock news. Frank Bohl would come on. He'd do all the highlights. We did a big special show. After that, the Kansas City Sports Machine at 10:30 every Sunday night. It was big. People watched. It was a big deal. And I would go to Arrowhead, and I would cover the games. And I'd sit in the press box. And Clark Hunt, the owner of the Chiefs' wife, who was not his wife then, would serve Diet Pepsis and popcorn to all the guys in the media. She was, I think, the reigning Miss Kansas or Miss Teen USA or something, or Miss Teen Kansas. And she had an internship job in the press box waiting on sloppy, stupid reporters. Now, I'm closer to her age. We were closer to the same age at the time. She's a few years younger than me. I think Clark and I are about exactly the same age. But this would be going on in the press box, and I would sit in the very back row of the press box in the far left corner with one of the worst views of the field of anybody in there. And the front rows, you know, between the 40-yard lines, the front two rows were loaded with 30 or 40 reporters from every tiny newspaper in every tiny little town in Kansas and Missouri, Nebraska, and Iowa. You know, there would be a guy there that didn't even write sports. He was mostly a news writer from the Junction City Daily Union, and he'd be right up front. And he'd be down there, and all these newspaper reporters would strut around, and, you know, your Jason Whitlocks and Joe Posnanskys and all these people with the Star would crowd around, and they sit right down there with the Chiefs officials in the front row, and everyone else is, like, banished to the... It was crazy the way newspapers were treated and have been treated. And it sort of still remains that way today, although the Star will not reveal in any way. You can't find out if Sam Mellinger writes a column. There's no way for you to find out how many people read it. We don't know. I don't think it's a very big number. Look, when I started in the business, people would talk about columns that were written, stories that were in the Star. It had an impact. Then they'd call talk radio shows and say, hey, can you believe what Whitlock wrote or this or that? It's gone. It's just gone. And I don't know how long they can sustain it, and I don't know how many people are reading it. I've got a pretty good idea. They do a sports podcast a couple of times a week at the Kansas City Star's website, and these are good people. You know, especially Blair Kirchhoff is just one of the nicest people, the most fantastic sports writers you'll ever meet. Vahe is a great dude. There's just a lot of really nice people And they do really good work. This is no commentary on their work. It's their industry and what's happened. But there just aren't very many people that watch their or listen to their podcast. It doesn't do real well. My personal belief is it would do better if they had a broadcaster in there with them. If they called Kevin and say, hey, we'll throw a couple of bucks your way. Could you moderate this thing and make our writers look really smart and good? I could do that for them. I'm a professional broadcaster. I could do that. I can't go write their columns for them because they're professional writers and I'm not. But I could do their podcast for them. I got to host it and bring the best out in them and make them look really good and keep it more entertaining and moving. And they'd probably get bigger numbers. But they don't think like that. They think the newspaper business thinks like it's 1970. We're the biggest. We got the biggest you know what, and we're going to swing it. And that's the way they view themselves. And in some cases, especially in baseball, if you cover baseball, there's still a deference to newspaper writers. And I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't think Major League Baseball, I don't think some of these sports outlets have any idea. Or maybe they just don't care. Maybe they just don't want to change. I don't think they have any idea who gets how many clicks, how many people are listening to what, how many people are reading what. I don't think they care. They just don't change. They haven't changed. Where it is changing is in news and politics. And what you're seeing with politicians is they want to get on Joe Rogan's podcast. They want to get to this place or that place. They don't care. Josh Hawley doesn't care about some sit down with the Kansas City Star editorial board. So they write some commentary about him as a United States senator from the state of Missouri where the Kansas City Star resides. He's not interested in that. He knows they're left-leaning. He knows that 90% of everybody that reads the Star are never going to vote for him. Josh Hawley's not doing anything with the Star. He's taking digs at them for moving their printing operations to Iowa. So what does Josh Hawley do? He goes on Fox News. He's reaching the conservatives in Missouri by doing that. And so they're leapfrogging over these papers. I think sports eventually will do that. And it's kind of sad. I find no glee or joy in the fact that they're selling this building. It's a change in the way things operate. I have a very strong passion and concern for local news and sports. It's been my life. It's what I've done. I've had people ask me 1,000 times, how come you never left? How come you didn't take a national job? How come you didn't do this? I mean, I can't answer the question other than initially it was, I had young children and I never wanted to be the guy that moved around and took a different TV job, signed a 3-year contract, moved my entire family, and then that's up and I got to find another job somewhere else and move there again. I never wanted to be that guy. I didn't. And I never really had the desire or dedication or drive to see if, oh, can I go be the ESPN guy? Or can I be Tom Rinaldi and do these essays and commentaries? I was never driven on a national basis to do that. I love where I grew up. I love my friends. I love my quality of life where I live. My family is here. It's important. I mean, we all make our own decisions. And so I made that decision. And by doing that and by staying here all these years, I've got a strong, you know, people ask me about your podcast goes everywhere, Kevin. You got people all over the world listening to the podcast. Not a lot, but there's literally people in like 20 countries. There's listeners in every single state. I assume, I don't know, but I assume many, if not most of them, have some sort of a connection to Kansas City, and so they listen to this, which is fine. And people say, well, if you can be reached everywhere else, why don't you just do a national politics podcast? So I can do that. I may do that. Maybe when I start splitting these up later this summer, and I think we're going to go to 2 podcasts a day. We'll do a news podcast and a sports podcast and split them up. We'll see how it goes with the advertisers. We'll need some more sponsors to do that. But in order to do that, I just really somehow want to stay committed to what goes on in my local community. It's important to me. And I think media is an important part of that. And I've said this many times in the 5+ months we've done the podcast. God bless the TV stations because they mostly play it right down the middle. They mostly are the only provider of fair local news in our community. I think KMBZ does. I think KMBZ Radio does in the mornings. I think their morning newscasts on radio are a great public service. But you're finding less and less of it in sports. We're all branching off. I'm part of this. I couldn't take it anymore. I can't. I'm tired of reading the same commentary and hearing the same commentary and opinion from the same sports journalists on the left in this town. I couldn't do it anymore. I can't. Somebody's got to fight back against this. You can't. because it's a silly narrative that most people in Kansas City don't believe. This is a conservative community. There is no question this is a conservative community. And we don't have enough voice. We don't have enough voices. I do find it sad that they're selling this building. I think it's just another domino to topple in the great American history of newspapers. And I don't think they'll ever be the same, and I think it's sad. Some of this, maybe they're bringing on their own. I don't know. One of their feature stories today, this is why I don't recommend you subscribe to them. I'll do it for you. If you can pick off your one or two or three free articles a month, I'll let you know when there's something there that you should go read. And I've mentioned a couple of those in the last few weeks. Go read the good stuff. I'll let you know when it's there. But one of their feature stories today on the front of their website is a headline that says, top 10 zip codes in Kansas City, Missouri for vaccine are, quote, mostly white, unquote. Man, I got race fatigue. You see this thing with Tucker Carlson last night about Smith College in Massachusetts and the 19-year-old student there that has ruined people's lives. Literally, people lost their jobs. One had a stress disorder and was hospitalized because of the trauma of all this and the threats they were getting and the vandalization and being called racists and the things that they received. This girl falsely accused people on her campus of treating her in a bad way and going to social media because they were racists. The school did a huge investigation of all of this and found nothing. It was another Jesse Smollett. These things are popping up right and left. The crying wolf, the fake claims of racism are everywhere because young black people love, well, young people, period, love attention on social media. Young black people know a great way to get attention and clicks on social media is to claim racism. You immediately get followers and retweeted, and here goes your brand. And you build your brand. And this has been going on for a long time. I mean, in different ways, there are plenty of people in this country that have built their brand on grievances. The number one grievance in this country, above all else, that gets the most coverage, is grievance by black people against society. That society is racist against us. That's the number one grievance in America. There are plenty of others. There's Me Too. There's, you know, gender. There's pride, LGBTQ. There's all kinds of grievances out there. But the number one that gets the most play is if you're black and you have a grievance against someone that's white that you think is racist or that wronged you, whether they're a cop or the janitor at Smith College, it doesn't matter. We'll put you on Good Morning America. All you have to do is go forward with it. And this one was fake. Jesse Smollett was fake. We're seeing it all over the place. They're fake. Nobody retracts it. Good Morning America is not doing a story today retracting all this. They're not. But they had this girl on, and they ruined people's lives through racism. I've got race fatigue. Here's the problem. I don't pay attention to any of these stories anymore. And I think you're probably the same way. And when the Star writes a headline that says 10 zip codes, the top 10 zip codes for most vaccinations. Okay, there's a bunch of zip codes in Kansas City, Missouri. This is not the metro area. This is KCMO proper. Top 10 zip codes for most vaccinations are mostly white. And I look at that and I go, well, so what? If the headline doesn't read, there is not a headline that says, we simply don't have enough vaccinations in the black zip codes. I didn't read that. My interpretation of this is different people are making different decisions. We heard Joe Biden, what he thought. He thinks black people are too dumb to get the vaccine. That's what he said. The president of the United States, he said, well, you know, in the urban core, they're not smart enough to get on the internet and figure out how to get the vaccine. Shame on you, Joe Biden. Did you ever think that for some people it's not as important, or they don't want to take it, or they have a reason, or they're not motivated to, or whatever? But it's America. The vaccine's available. Get in line. Even if you're younger, you can now get in line. Enough older people have been vaccinated. The age number is coming way down. You can get a hold of your state or your county or walk into a facility and ask somebody that's an expert, say, how do I get in line? Wear your mask, get in line. You may be 3 weeks away. You may be 4 weeks away from your shot, but you can get it. Everybody's getting it. This is not an issue. Okay? And the fact that this is happening does not deserve a headline that most people getting vaccinated are mostly white. It's by choice. It's by choice. At this point, show me the story that the federal government, Joe Biden, right now in his rollout, okay, are not providing the vaccine in the black community in Kansas City, and I will read that all day long. That's the story I want. I don't want, hey, look at this. You know, white people are more anxious to go get this, or the zip codes that are mostly white are where this is happening. It is all race fatigue. And the issue with race fatigue, and I don't think they understand what's happening, because they won't stop. This has been a winning issue for the Democrats for so long, and it won't be. I got an email from a guy who listened to my radio show forever, every year, all year, and my daughter and his daughter in high school were friends. They were not best friends, but they were friends. And he's in a biracial family, and he sent me an email, a comment about somebody who said something on the radio about the basketball coach at South Carolina, Frank Martin, who I also consider a friend. And I know Frank Martin to be very conservative. And this person who said something about Frank Martin is a flaming liberal. And that's what he heard in the comment about Frank Martin, the basketball coach. And I emailed him back and I said, well, listen, you know, Frank Martin is exactly the person the left doesn't want you to know about. He's Cuban American. He's a proud Cuban, but he's mostly a proud American. His wife is black and he coaches basketball at a university, which almost certainly his bosses are liberals. They don't want you to know that story. He is self-made. His family never had anything. He waves the flag red, white, and blue, and as conservative as they get. Period. End of conversation. They don't want you to know that about people like Frank Martin. They don't want you to know that a Cuban American who came from nothing, married to a black woman, has a large family and coaches college basketball at a liberal school, and pretty much all of his basketball players are black, and he loves them like his own children. They don't want you to know that about a conservative. There is no stopping it, folks. This country will be more and more integrated as the decades go by. There will be no white or black or brown. Some people say brown. It's amazing you say white and black and brown, but you can't say yellow. That was right. That was an awful thing, and that's gone. Why do we have colors on anything? When are we going to become Americans? And understand, I haven't gone through all my heritage. I don't know what may have happened with my ancestors, be it in Europe, in Germany, where most of them came from, or Ireland, or after they got to the United States. I haven't researched it all. I don't want to. Some people want to do this. There's websites for it. I don't really care. I don't care if I have indigenous people in me. I don't care if I have descendants of slaves in me. It matters not. I am who I am. I'm an American, and I don't care about all this stuff. There's race fatigue taking place. And what it really does, and what's really bad about this, is when something really goes wrong, it's taken less seriously. Nobody hears it. When something really bad happens, it just doesn't make, you know, even like the George Floyd thing. If you stayed tuned in on that after the first couple of months, not now, several weeks, the shock, the horror we all saw watching the video. By the way, that happened again. I think, was it in California? Just a few weeks ago, it happened again with somebody, but it was not a race crime this time. A guy died after having his neck pinned down. Amazing that it was still used somewhere, but you don't hear about that. You don't hear about that one. This horrified us. There's no question it horrified us. And it took forever to learn the information that he was dying of a fentanyl overdose. He was dying either way. Now, the trial's starting. We'll see what comes out. My guess is, If they can prove he overdosed and was going to die either way, and the officer, they're sitting there saying, listen, I wasn't really putting pressure on his neck or whatever, and he was freaked out. They had him handcuffed and in the car, restrained in the car, and they let him out because they thought he was going to kill himself in the car. He was banging his head against the windows and the side doors because he was freaked out on drugs. When all this comes out in a court, I mean, I don't know. You tell me. Did the officer do something wrong? Yeah, it looked terrible. It looked terrible, but there was a statute that it was okay. We learned this stuff afterwards. It shouldn't be legal to do that move. In my opinion, it should not be legal to put your neck on someone who's handcuffed. Just shouldn't. If you need to restrain somebody by putting your knee on their neck and get them handcuffed, okay. But once you're handcuffed and on the ground, no. I think we all agree with that. But then we learn the facts of what really happened, just as we learned in the Michael Brown case and some of the Trayvon Martin, that he attacked the dude. That Michael Brown stole a gun or tried to steal a gun from the cop after he'd ripped off a 7-Eleven and was high on drugs. This is the stuff you learn after the fact. But it doesn't matter. They come out with this stuff first, they gain the narrative, and they try to win that way. But the smartest among us, the most clued in, are learning all the facts of a lot of these cases, not all of them. There are wrongs, there are injustices. I'm not saying we're perfect. We are not a perfect society, nor will we ever be a perfect society. But this all adds up to race fatigue. And the dangerous part of race fatigue that they don't even see on the left, because they really don't care that much about racism. They really don't. They really don't care nearly as much about the plight of Black Americans as they say. Or their policies would be better for Black Americans. There was a guy last night I saw, and he was African American, and he said, the new white supremacists are the white people peddling race for their own gain. They're gaining more and more power at the expense of peddling racism and basically taking advantage of Black people. So that's not helping Blacks anywhere. Telling them to just keep remaining a victim, that your chart, your course in this country to greatness is just claim everything's racism, and everybody will take you seriously, and everybody will listen to you, and everybody will give you a free pass. This is your best plan. That is not the best path. The best path is to get educated, work hard, and kick some ass. That's the best path in this country, and it always has been. But the left, especially the whites on the left peddling race, don't want you to know that. They don't want you to think that way. I think we're going to hit race fatigue. I think we're going to hit critical mass here where enough people, I mean, we're going to get really close here very soon to everyone has a relative from a different race. There's no white families left. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. I'm not complaining about there's no white families left. I couldn't care less. I have three kids. I hope they marry someone that is smart, works hard, and loves them beyond belief. That's all I care about. I don't care. I don't care if it's a man or a woman, Black or white, young or old. I don't care about any of these things. I want them to be happy and live quality lives. That's it. And I think everybody's like that. And that's where we are. And the more they do this stuff and keep peddling, it just seems like race fatigue. Now, sometimes fatigue works to your advantage. It does, in my opinion, it doesn't with race, but it does with things like this. This Mr. Potato Head thing yesterday with Hasbro, I don't know if you saw this on Thursday, they took the name Mr. off of Potato Head. All right? Now, Friday, they put it back. They switched and said, okay, people went crazy. This whole thing could have just been a publicity stunt. And if it was, I don't blame them. Because what they did was they got a whole bunch of people to go online and buy Mr. Potato Heads. I heard one specific report on Thursday that said, you better hurry. They're discontinuing Mr. Potato Head. It's just going to be Potato Head from now on. It could be a collector's item. You better buy them. So how many Mr. Potato Heads did they sell in 36 hours? I mean, they must have sold a lot. Now they've backtracked and said, we're not doing this. But here's where fatigue works in your advantage. Every time you change Aunt Jemima's name or the Cleveland Indians or a host of other things that get changed out there and they're right and left, the more those happen, this is where fatigue works to their advantage. The more these happen, the more we just go, and don't really care. Cleveland Indians aren't our team, so I guess we don't care. My high school team is changing its name from Indians to something else. I don't like it, but that's not the hill I'm fighting on. It just isn't. I don't care enough, you know, to go raise some hell over it. I really don't care what Aunt Jemima pancake mix is called. So you get to a point with some of these things where it depends on what it is and you don't care that much. So fatigue, I think, works to their advantage in renaming all this stuff. People are more open to it because they don't really care that much. So fatigue works in some cases, but I don't think with race it does in any way, shape, or form. A couple of quick heavy points here, I guess, is what we'll say. The Biden administration has done airstrikes in Syria. They moved troops into Syria within 2 hours of swearing in January. Look, the Democrats are the professional war class. We now know this. A lot of things have changed right here in our lifetimes. Okay? The Republicans are becoming the working class party, and the Democrats are the professional war class. They're globalists. They want their hands in everything. They want a one world. This is what they do. This is a president, Biden, that denounced Trump just 18 months ago when the troops came home from Syria. He just denounced Trump for bringing people home, bringing troops home. This targeted strike was basically aimed at the Iranians At the same time, Joe Biden is saying he wants back in the Iran nuclear treaty, which is useless. What smart thinking person could believe that if we signed a treaty with Iran, that they're not building a nuclear weapon, that they would not be building a nuclear weapon? That sounds like the single biggest waste of time on earth. I don't get these people, but that's what they're doing. Mitch McConnell's doing a flip-flop. Mitch McConnell just blasted Trump, and apparently he didn't think Trump was coming after him. Trump came after McConnell so hard in the last week that McConnell's life is miserable. Absolutely miserable. It's miserable on the Hill. He's embarrassed to walk around Washington, D.C. There are other Republicans in D.C. that don't like him. He is in trouble with his wife because she got dragged into this thing and her family. Oh, my God. Mitch McConnell's life, because of what Donald Trump said about him on the counterpunch, has been miserable. I promise you. Miserable. So what did McConnell say this week? Publicly has now stated he, of course, will support Donald Trump in 2024 if Trump runs. You can't make this stuff up. I mean, the swamp class of Republicans is so scummy in D.C. Look, I talk a lot about the left. They're the worst. But there is an element to the Republican Party that is every bit as bad because they don't stand for anything. They're just like, who's here and has power today and who isn't here and doesn't have power? That's all they're about because they live in this swamp and they all protect their swamp. And Mitch McConnell is right in it. Couple notes from Hollywood. Lady Gaga has a dog walker who is also a friend. He's 30 years old. And he was this week, he was walking her three French bulldogs in Los Angeles. Nice neighborhood in Los Angeles, right? Lady Gaga doesn't live in a bad neighborhood. Walking the three French bulldogs. And a car pulls up. And two thugs get out and start beating up the dog walker to try to steal the three dogs, the French bulldogs. He fights back. One of the men shoots him. Didn't die. He's in stable condition. But he fought for the dogs. They got away with two of the dogs, Koji and Gustav. The third dog apparently got away, but has been returned. They found him. He just ran off a little bit, and they got the dog back. This is unbelievable. I guess French bulldogs are pretty valuable. If there's three of them on one chain and it's one guy, I don't know, what do you get? A couple thousand bucks for each dog? So they went to steal the French bulldogs and shot this guy. Lady Gaga is offering a $500,000 reward for the return of her dogs. She loves her dogs. This is unbelievable. I have not heard of this. My wife has always been like, we take our dog a lot of places and leave him in the car sometimes when we go in for just a few minutes or whatever. I won't mention some places we go, but there's some places we go that last 30 to 45 minutes. She's like, nope, he's not going there. I don't want to leave him in that parking lot. I'll let you figure the math out of where you might go shop for 30 or 45 minutes where you're just maybe a little bit worried about some people, large parking lot, a lot of people, whatever. She's afraid that our dog is so adorable and cute, somebody's going to smash the window and steal him. And he is adorable and cute, and he would not fight back, and he'd be happy to go with. He loves everybody. He'd probably just be happy to go with them and think, oh, this is what mom and dad want. They'll be coming and picking me up later. I guess there's been some of that, but normally when a dog gets stolen from a car, it's some pure breed that they can go resell and make a bunch. You couldn't make any money off my dog. He's a mutt. There's no money to be made, but he is the greatest dog on earth. That's just a fact. Yeah, I won't even entertain discussions about, I love your dog, and I know that you love your dog. Yeah, I don't feel bad for you that you have your dog, because you love your dog at a high level. Everybody loves their dog. I got it all. There's no way I'd trade my dog for anybody else's dog. No chance. We're the luckiest people on earth to have this dog. He plays golf with us. My dog goes golfing with us. It's always my dream. You know, some people back in the day, we talked about newspapers. A big thing was train your dog to go to the street and get your paper for you and bring it into the house so you didn't have to go out in the elements, right? Never my dream. My dream was always, what if I had a little dog? Because I used to watch, when I first started playing golf in my teens, the superintendents of most golf courses have a dog. They live in the shed. They live in the maintenance facility. They sleep there overnight. They keep it warm for them. They make beds. The whole staff takes care of them. This is a great life for a dog. It is phenomenal. They get to go run all day. They get so much exercise and attention and love from so many different people. When the weather is bad, the superintendent takes the dog home and keeps him at home at night and brings him back in the morning. They ride on the tractor while they're cutting grass. They get to chase rabbits and squirrels. And oh, it's a great life for a dog. There was a calendar a couple of years ago of golf course superintendent dogs in Kansas City. It was a different dog for each of the 12 months. An awesome way of life. And so I've seen these dogs. I'm like, that's all I ever wanted was a dog that could go play golf with me. Now, there's really not any rules that I know of that prohibit you from taking your golf. Like, I wouldn't, if I was a guest at Shadow Glen, I wouldn't take my dog with me. But when we go out Falcon Ridge, you know, some of the places we're accustomed to going and we know everybody, nobody cares. It doesn't bother anyone. And so we do this. You're not getting my dog. I can't even imagine. It sounds, I know for those of you that aren't dog lovers, it doesn't sound like as much. This wasn't a kidnapping. She didn't lose somebody in her family. She had a very good friend get shot, which is traumatic and a terrible situation, but he's going to be okay. $500,000, Lady Gaga, to get her dogs returned. That is amazing. Amazon Prime is a streaming service of entertainment. It is Black History Month. Amazon Prime has an award-winning documentary on Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas, who is a conservative and the only black justice in the history of the Supreme Court. They canceled the documentary during Black History Month. You can't make this up. They canceled it during Black History Month. Clarence Thomas. I've got two friends, and we had dinner with them a little over a week ago, Danny and Stacy Higgins. Danny is the co-owner of Gecko Painting. They'll be painting our house. He does all my painting work. He's phenomenal. These are really nice people. We've known them 20 years, maybe. Good friends. Been to a lot of ball games with them. Play golf. Really nice people. And Stacy started a new endeavor about a year ago, and it's not something that I've done, but I know the benefits of, and I know this is a big category for a lot of people, and you're inundated with a lot of information about this. If this is something you've considered, I just want to let you know of an option that's out, a couple things that are out there for you. When our previous dog a few years ago was old and he was big, he was 80-some pounds, he had a hard time walking. And my wife found some CBD products, and I didn't know anything about CBD at the time. I didn't know a thing. I'm like, oh, you're just getting him high on weed. She's like, no, that's not what this is. And I didn't understand, and I don't know. But I know that that helped my dog. And I know that my wife's elbow hurts a lot because she plays golf more than I do. And she has a roll-on thing that she got from Stacy that she puts on there that she swears by. This is USDA organic, no THC. This company grows their own. There's no middleman. It's for pain and inflammation. It's topical creams and roll-ons. It's perfect to keep in a golf bag. It also helps you with calm and focus. The company is called Green Compass. And what's most exciting to me when I've talked with Danny and Stacy with Stacy is what she's doing. Green Compass has only been in business 2 years. In their second year, they doubled their sales. They're based in North Carolina to $22 million in sales. This is going to be a $20 billion industry by 2024. And I said, Stacy, I don't know. She's like, hey, should I buy advertising? Can I come on your podcast? What can I do? I said, I don't know. Let me toss it out there to some of the people that listen. And if you're inclined to try a CBD product or you think it might help you, I'm going to give you this website and information. But mostly what I got interested in was, I know a lot of you are real hustlers, real workers out there. And this is kind of a ground floor opportunity with a company that's really growing. And this product is better than what you buy at the store. There's no junk in it. It's USDA organic, and they grow their own. There's no middlemen. It's Green Compass, and it's a new company. And she said, why don't you ask some of your listeners if they'd like to make some money, either as a side hustle or as a primary work-at-home job? A lot of people are at home. We all know people that are unemployed. This is a chance to get in a growing industry and make some money as a side hustle or primary position. Maybe your wife doesn't want to work at the office anymore, and she'd like to stay at home and try this. This could be a wonderful opportunity to make some real money with CBD products. Go to this website, cbd-gc.com. So that's cbd-gc for Green Compass.com. Green Compass is the name of the products. Stacy Higgins is the rep that will sell these or train you to sell yourself if you'd like to get involved. And you do it at home. Side hustle. You can work as little or as much as you want at this. The more she's worked, the more she's made, clearly. But mostly her and Danny like the products. I mean, he works. This guy's always worked. He's painted. He lifts. His job is physical. He drives a big truck. He lifts a lot of scaffolding and stuff all day. His shoulders, his elbows, always aching and barking at him. He's not a complainer. But we've always known this about Danny, that he's sore a lot from the work that he does. And he uses these products every day, and the pain is gone. So it's Green Compass CBD. If you'd like more information, contact Stacy by going to just go to this, cbd-gc.com. Or call her at 961-3881. If you like to call people directly, that's a 913. You can call Stacy, 913-961-3881. And you just call her personally if you have any questions about the products or the possibility of starting your own at-home business. She can help you with that. And she knows so much about this. And I've never, again, we had dinner with him about 10 days ago. I've never seen somebody so committed and convinced that something on the ground floor is exploding and it is a great company that's taking care of everyone and doing it the right way. It is more. This is more expensive than the stuff you go at. You stop at the little store in the storefront and go in there. This is a little more expensive because this is the high-end stuff. This is really good. CBD-GC.com is the place to go. It is Green Compass CBD. We are brought to you today on Kevin Keatsman Has Issues as we switch to sports by some great sponsors like Back9Development.com, the Solheim Condominiums at Grand Mere on the Colbert Hills Golf Course in Manhattan. Well, Danny and Staves, you have a place right there. Right there by Colbert Hills. Gecko paints everything at Colbert Hills. I think he's got every new house that's being built at Colbert Hills. Gecko Painting is painting. So Danny does a lot of work there, and he is there by the Solheim at Grand Mere. It's a wonderful development. Check it out online, back9development.com. That's the numeral 9, back9development.com. Fry Orthodontics, 12 Kansas City locations for your convenience. Check them out in other cities as well. There's a couple of locations in St. Louis now. They're expanding to Tucson, Arizona. Yeah, okay. Fry Orthodontics is all over the place. Dr. Jeremy, something else. He's building an empire with the greatest care you'll find anywhere, period. Of course, Fry Orthodontics is synonymous with Kansas City and the great work that they have done for generations here in Kansas City. Your smile is just the start. The first appointment is always free online at fryorthodontics.com. And Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch. We're going in this weekend. I got to get those, the gift I got for my wife. We're returning it. She's going to pick something else out. Joslyn's is great like that. She'll probably get her rings polished up while she's there. They do that while you're shopping. Great service, polishing up your jewelry. They're just, the customer service is phenomenal. Joslyn's Jewelry, 95th and Antioch in Overland Park. Oh, this is good. I'm fired up about the Royals. We're going down to Arizona a week from today. We're leaving on Friday, and we're going to be gone for 10 days. I will do podcasts from Arizona. The coverage isn't the same as normal, so I'm not going to be able to go over there and sit down with a bunch of people and do interviews. It's different because of COVID. They have restrictions. But we're hopeful to get Dayton Moore on, maybe Mike Matheny, and I'll have some segments with them and have that on the podcast for you and continue to podcast while we're – it's a working vacation next week at spring training. And this is a clip that I heard – yesterday, I'm going to play for you, that got me fired up. Whit Merrifield believes the Royals are solidified, that they are legit, that what the ownership went out and did this offseason is legit. He's happy in right field, and he cannot wait for this season to start.
We have our own expectations every year. We expect to go out and play well every year. But obviously when ownership and the front office goes out and signs good players, that helps. And we feel like we've signed some really good players, guys that are really going to help our team. We feel like some of these young guys are at the point where they're ready to help us, and we're ready to see what they got. Benintendi and Santana, they're patient hitters. They see a lot of pitches, and it gives guys like myself and Mondi some good opportunities to steal some bags and generate some runs. So it's nothing but excitement going on in this clubhouse. We expect to make the playoffs. We expect to be in the playoffs, and we expect to be playing in the fall and get to the playoffs. Anything can happen. So we expect to compete in our division, have a chance to win it, and we expect to be playing in the fall. Hopefully we'll have Hunter Dozier in the lineup. Hopefully Salvi's eyes are good. And hopefully we can have late in the year Mondi come out of the gate. And we do those things, and watch out. We're coming in hot.
Whit Merrifield says he's coming in hot. How about that one, baby? Very excited, Whit Merrifield. Love that. Great commentary there from Whit, who's a terrific player. Really good ball player. Really good ball player. And we look forward to seeing the Royals starting in just a little over a month. at Kauffman Stadium. What's in a jersey number? Well, the Royals have had some interesting jersey changes this year. Danny Duffy went from 41 to 30, right, to honor Yordano Ventura. Well, we thought that was the whole story. Turns out it's not. Carlos Santana, the Royals' new first baseman, wanted jersey number 41. Duffy also thought it would be cool somehow to honor Yordano Ventura. So it all worked out. Danny Duffy did the rarest thing in sports. He gave up his jersey number and didn't charge the other guy any money. Didn't ask for a Rolex, didn't ask for a car. You know, Carlos Santana has what? $50 million? Normally, the gifts are pretty good in this game. You do something nice for someone to get your number. No money traded hands. Danny Duffy said, just hit 30 bombs this year and be a good teammate, and we are all good. There were three such jersey changes this year, all with different circumstances around them, shall we say. So Duffy gives his away to Santana and just says, hit a bunch of home runs and be a good teammate, because Duffy's loaded too. Andrew Benintendi comes over to the Royals, and he makes really good money, but Kelvin Gutierrez does not. Kelvin Gutierrez is the Royals' WAR number 16, and he no longer wears number 16. Andrew Benintendi got it from Gutierrez, who's now wearing 19. So you can ask yourself this, how much money traded hands on that one? What was it? Was it a car? Was it a watch? Was it cash? What did Gutierrez want? Something traded hands from Benintendi to Gutierrez for this jersey number. Then I'll ask the bigger question. Is tax paid on that? All these things that have happened through the years, like if Patrick Mahomes went to another team and somebody else was 15 at the end of his career or whatever, there's some real money trading hands to get the number. I just want to know, just under the table here, here's your car. It wouldn't be that. You'd get taxed on that. Somebody find out it. You register it. I mean, is it cash? Is it an envelope? Here's $5,000 in an envelope. I don't know. I'm not saying I know. How do you avoid taxes, or do you avoid taxes? The third circumstance is Hunter Dozier. Wade Davis, to be honest, is a more beloved and famous Royal than Hunter Dozier at this point. Maybe it won't end up that way. I can't speak to that. Hunter Dozier's number 17, and he ain't giving it to Wade Davis. Wade Davis, and here's the rub on this one. Wade Davis is on a minor league contract right now. If he makes the major league team, it will be interesting to see if something happens with Hunter Dozier and Wade Davis. For the time being, because he's on a minor league contract, Wade Davis has flipped his 17 to 71. So we'll see. If Wade Davis makes the team, maybe Hunter Dozier does something. I don't know. Is Wade Davis a Royals Hall of Famer? It's a legitimate question. He was part of the glory years, and he was terrific. And he had a long enough career with other teams and whatnot to justify it. So we'll see. But what's in a number? Three different jersey changes with the Royals, three different circumstances around all of them. Baylor and KU are scheduled to play on Saturday. We'll see. Baylor with another postponed game. It's just gotten out of control. Kansas has added UTEP to the schedule next week as a final game. That's a good idea. Go ahead and play somebody. Missouri has added LSU on March 6th. They're postponed with Texas A&M on Saturday. It's a bizarre basketball season. It's just bizarre. Tiger Woods has been transferred to Cedars-Sinai Medical Center in Los Angeles. He's moved from the UCLA Medical Center. Cedars-Sinai is recognized as one of the top hospitals in the world, let alone the United States. The doctor there says that learning to walk at Cedars-Sinai is important. I'm not a doctor. I've followed a lot of these stories for a lot of these years. What this says to me is Tiger Woods is not getting sent to Florida or sent to his home or anything like that until he can walk. My guess is this has to do not just with infection, but blood clots. You got to get up and you got to get mobile. And until then, you're never really out of the woods on clotting and things of that nature. So it sounds like he's going to be at Cedars-Sinai for a long time. Some people had estimated it could be, you know, 12 weeks, 4 months before he even gets up and tries to walk. We'll see. Tiger's not going anywhere for quite some time if this doctor is accurate that says learning to walk there at Cedars-Sinai will be imperative and very important to what they do. The NIT is a basketball tournament that apparently there's a lot of talk with the NCAA to be a standby event for the NCAA tournament. For example, 68 teams go to Indiana for the NCAA tournament. 16 teams go to Dallas for the NIT tournament. If somebody gets to Indiana and they have a COVID problem and they can't play, they'll have a jet standing by to fly a team from Dallas to Indiana to fill in the slot in the tournament and play the game. A lot of people think this is a great idea to have teams on standby, four or five teams on standby for if and when COVID hits the NCAA tournament. This is the worst idea I've ever heard. And I can't believe that people like this idea. I don't understand it. This one's really simple. If you get to Indiana and somebody on your team gets COVID, isolate them. Test everyone else and keep playing. If you lose three players, you lose three players. If you lose seven players, you forfeit. It's the COVID year. Stop trying to figure all this stuff out. Or do what is reasonable and would have been reasonable all along is, we don't recognize COVID with our players because they're not sick. If they don't have symptoms, if they don't have a fever, if they're not sick, if they're not whatever, we're going to play them. We're not afraid of our players to get COVID. That would have been the reasonable way to do this. We know it worked in football. We know that having fans at football games didn't spread COVID. We've learned all this stuff now. So if you're going to overreact, don't keep overreacting. The overreaction's already in play. Your overreaction is in play, so here's the deal. You're having a tournament. If you have your silly COVID rules and protocols and somebody can't play, then they forfeit. It's one game in the tournament. The team that wins the forfeit still has to win five games to win the title. It is not going to cheapen your championship. It's not. It's a weird year. Forget about flying teams in from the NIT. That's ridiculous. And we'll finish with this. There's a soccer player named Zlatan. You may have heard of Zlatan. Zlatan, if I have this right, was with the LA team in MLS a couple of years ago and played here in Kansas City. And it was a big deal that he was playing in MLS. Like, they spent a bunch of money to get him over here. He's a sideshow all his own. He is outrageous on a soccer pitch. He is wildly entertaining. He is flamboyant. He is outspoken. He's a showman, and he's a great player. Right now, he plays for AC Milan, which is where, you know, all the real money is and whatnot. He's a world-class. This is a great player. Zlatan is a big deal. You may not have heard of him, but outside of the United States, this is one of the most famous athletes in the world. Like, he's as famous as LeBron James in most places. More famous in a lot of places, in fact. And he said, he was asked about LeBron James and what LeBron James has become. And he said, well, he's just the greatest player I've ever seen. But he said, my recommendation, LeBron, is do what you're good at. And that's enough for now. And this is a guy who's flamboyant while he plays and is pretty outspoken and whatnot. He's like, nobody wants to hear what I think about different countries or politics or any of that stuff. After I'm done playing, if I decide to get in politics, I'll say whatever I want. But it isn't the time and place. Basically, he says, we should all focus on being great at one thing. Find what you're good at and do it. And he says, LeBron's good at basketball. He shouldn't be doing this stuff. Very interesting to hear people. We're seeing a lot of people that will not kneel now. There's blowback. If you're going to do this stuff, there's always going to be just a little bit of blowback in certain places. So there it is. Hope you have a great weekend. We're going to be putting up a Patreon podcast. The newsletter is going to be coming out in the next 24 hours. If you'd like to sign up to become a patron, go to kkhasissues.com. You'll get both of those things in the next 24 hours. And we're planning a watch party for March 20th for the NCAA tournament. That's actually the first round, not second round. They're going to start the play-in games are like Thursday. Then Friday and Saturday are rounds 1 and 2 instead of Thursday and Friday. So Saturday, it's all-day basketball. We're planning a watch party like noon to 3 that Saturday, March 20th, for the NCAA tournament. We would love for you to go. We're only inviting patrons. So if you become a patron, you'll get the invite, and we'd love to have you at the event. So that will be, we'll get that information out. I'm trying to work out a deal with a place right now. I don't have it done yet, so I don't know the location. I can't tell the patrons yet, but we'll have more information for the patrons as we go. If you'd like to join, we can have you at your party, at the party coming up in 3 weeks as we have a watch party for the NCAA tournament for the patrons of Kevin Kietzman Has Issues. Thank you so much, as always, for listening. Please share with your friends that you like the podcast. Tell them it's out there. You're doing an unbelievable job for me. I can't thank you enough. That our number of followers is really climbing, and it makes a huge difference if you hit follow or subscribe for free wherever you listen. And you have your spouse or whomever do that as well. It makes a huge difference in what we're doing here. So thank you so much. Let's help spread the word. Let's get some good things going on and have a great weekend. Thanks for listening to KKHI.
Thanks for listening to Kevin Keatsman Has Issues. For additional VIP-only podcasts, live streaming of breaking news, sports wagering tips from the experts, and in-person special events, visit kkhasissues.com and become a patron for as little as $5 per month.
This has been a production of Crooked Tail Media Incorporated.